Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, February the 7th, 2017, 1:13 coming up on 1:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And sadly, yesterday, we lost a legend in the world of comedy, but he was a legend who spent more than a century making us laugh. The Professor Irwin Corey, the man who faced the blacklist, ran for president, did just about everything there was to do, passed away yesterday at the age of 102 years old, just about 5 months shy of his 103rd birthday. In this hour, we are going to remember the legendary professor with some very enjoyable people. We're going to be joined by Irwin's son in his first interview, Richard Corey. The professor's only son, Richard Corey, will be with us late in this hour, right before we go off at 2 o'clock. We'll also be joined by legendary actor Larry Storch, and we're going to kick off the program with a fellow Ohioan and a great comedic actress, Kay Ballard. But before we do that, I want to go back in time, and Irwin was on this show several times, listen to a little bit of the humor of Professor Irwin Corey. Here he is on this program. I believe this is back in 2010. Irwin, why did you get into comedy?
Why did I get into comedy? Well, that's a two-part question. First, you ask why. Well, why has been plaguing man since time immemorial? Statesmen, philosophers, educators, teachers, scientists, wondering what the world is, why. And the second question is, what was the second part of the question?
It was comedy, Professor.
Why did I go into comedy?
Yes.
Did I go into comedy? Yes. That's the second part of the question.
No. Why did you go into comedy?
Oh, you asked that question twice.
I did.
Well, it was the easiest way for me. People don't really go into organizations, nor do they go into ideas and philosophy preconceived.
The one and only Professor Irwin Corey, joining us to remember him, the legendary Kay Ballard. Kay, how are you?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you the truth. Irwin Corey was a genius. A genius. I met him through Larry Storch, then I worked with him. He was so brilliant. He drove a great big car, and in the trunk, there was no suitcase for clothes. He had volumes of books, and he read them all the time. Shakespeare, from Shakespeare to whatever was the book of the day. He was just a genius. And I love the way he opened with, however. That's the way he opened his act. However.
Yeah, you know, Kay,
so ahead of everybody, he really was.
Kay, where do you put him in the list of great comedians?
Well, absolutely, but he never got the recognition he should have gotten. Never, and neither did Larry Storch. They both are magnificent people.
You know, Kay, when Irwin would get up there in that professor outfit and the crazy hair and the sneakers, he was an original. He should have been known.
He was totally original.
Yeah.
Who else would open his act saying, however?
and
he was really so just, he was wonderful, wonderful.
And he thought fine.
I'm so glad, Scott, that you do this. Remembering people that just had so much intelligence and humor and wit. I mean, there isn't that much today. There isn't wit that's gone out the window. They'd rather say the F word and the MF word and talk about their genitalia. I mean, it's so boring. And, you know, funny, it's like Jack Benny said to me, funny is funny. Don't go into anything personal. It doesn't really matter.
You know, Kay, you know? Later on in his life, I had the professor on. And up until his, I think right before he turned 100, he had some trouble hearing, but he could still remember those monologues, and there were no dirty words in them.
never, and neither Larry Storch and neither me. That's one thing I learned very early when I started. That's the wrong kind of laugh that goes on.
You know,
like Saturday Night Live is satire, and that's wonderful. That, to me, is the best comedy of the day, not the individuals. Saturday Night Live. Sometimes they go over that line, but their satire is brilliant.
Well, you know, Kate, when I think of people like Irwin Corey and I think of people like Larry Storch and yourself, the ideas, it was comedy, but it also made you think. And I think that's why it holds up so well.
I think so. Or Jack Benny, you never laughed at what he said. You laughed at what he was thinking.
And
that's brilliant comedy.
And they were personality-driven. The professor was a character, and that was great.
Yes, he was a brilliant character, and he was disheveled all over the house. He was never, you almost thought, did he ever have another set of clothes? Never. But he did. But that was his concept of what comedy was, and it was brilliant.
You know, one of the things I remember best about the professor is, you said it, Kay, he would come out there and he was announced as the world's foremost authority, Professor Irwin Corey, and he would come out, hair would look good, clothes would look good for a second, and the first thing he'd do is he'd walk up to that podium and he'd sneeze, and that hair would go crazy, and his clothes would become disheveled, and then there he was off and running.
Yes. You know, Scott, you're so wonderful to yourself for always remembering the good things that was. Today, the kids don't want to know what was. And I always wanted to know what was. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, it's interesting when you think back. Irwin had a great life, 102 years. And
you know, he always lied about his age, so I didn't know how old he was until you told me.
What? He would have been 103 this July.
How wonderful.
And I'll tell you,
I never knew what he ate. I mean, we'd go out to dinner. I don't even remember what he ate. He just was a totally fascinating man.
You know, it's interesting, Kay. Irwin, I got to know him pretty well later in his life, and his mind never went at all. He had some trouble hearing, but his mind was wonderful, and he was doing guest spots on this program till I think the day before his 100th birthday. He was just
wonderful.
He had a wonderful mind, a wonderful life, and I think he told me one time that a lot of his relatives lived into their hundreds. He had good genes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and he had a rough life. He started out in an orphanage. I think he knew who his parents were, but is it true, Kay, that a lot of comedy, I think about this when I think about Irwin, that a lot of comedy comes from a sadness, a rough childhood?
Well, I think that's true. I had a wonderful family, but a very poor family. But they were wonderful, fine people.
I tell you, Kate, before I let you go, I want to play one more clip of Irwin, and then I want you to tell me how you are going to remember him personally when you think of the name Irwin Corey. Here's Irwin on this show just a few short years ago. Where did it come from, the professor? 1940, you started coming up with him. Where did it come from?
It came from the front. Years ago, after the second interglacial period, there was a depression made which was igniting the excitement, and therefore, with that particular portion in mind, one is re-educated to the extent. What was the question?
Where did this character come from that we've been hearing so much from here the last few minutes?
Okay, my first professional appearance in a nightclub was October 20th, 1942, at the Village Vanguard. And I was there with a guy called Richard Dyer Bennett, a folk singer who brought Waltzing Matilda from Australia into the United States. He was a very good performer, and he finally taught music at Harvard University, and he was betrayed by a friend called, what's his name? I even forget it. I don't even care to remember it, but Burl Ives, who ratted on him before the House Un-American Activities Committee, the guy that gave Burl Ives his job.
You know, Kay, he was very loyal.
He was very what?
He was very loyal to the people in his life.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He just was so special, Scott, and I'm glad you're remembering him. Maybe some people will, but they're close to 100.
Kay, before
you know, it wasn't fortunate enough to have television, or be a part of television or movies the way he should have been.
You know, I thought about that.
Just a genius.
I thought about this morning, I thought if the professor had been about 20 years younger and he had hit his stride during the early days of television, he would have been a superstar.
Yes, he would have been.
He was great. Kay, when you think of the name Professor Irwin Corey, what are you going to think? How are you going to remember this guy?
Well, I can only remember him as an absolutely wonderful human being with a brain larger than the state of Ohio. And you know something, give my love to Ohio, because I do love Ohio. They don't recognize me so much, but I love them, and I'm very proud to be an Ohioan.
Well, this Ohioan recognizes you and loves you a lot, Kay, and I want you to keep on keeping on, and everything you just said about the Professor Irwin Corey.
Well, I'm doing a documentary now.
Really?
On myself, called Medium, Rare, and Well Done.
I love it.
Because I've been in every medium of the show business that I love. And they're rare because Carol Channing and I are the only two that I know of that are living that performed for Queen Elizabeth when she was Princess Elizabeth.
What?
And I say, well done.
You know, Kay, that's...
Really,
that's...
I was lucky to meet such wonderful people like Irwin Corey and... Don't ever forget Larry Storch. I call him Bunky. He is the most wonderful person. Wonderful.
Larry is actually coming.
How old is Larry now? He's about 80-something? 90-something.
I think Larry's...
91. He's older than I am.
Yeah, I believe Larry's 94 now.
Well, he's just one of the great ones.
And he is coming up next here on the program.
Was.
And I tell
but
you,
I'm thrilled that I knew such wonderful people in my business.
Well, Kay, Larry
and
is.
I'm glad I chose show business with its thrills and with its disappointments. And Irwin Corey was thrilled also.
He
should have been recognized. He should have been given an award some point. But just reaching total perfection in his business because he deserved that.
You know, Kay, one of the sad afterlights of this whole thing is that...
Pardon?
I said one of the sad points, it's the only sad thing about Irwin, is that one of the times we were talking, I do remember him telling me, I asked Irwin how he wanted to be remembered, and he said he wasn't sure if people remembered that he was even still alive because he had lived so long.
It's true. I wasn't quite sure. When you mentioned the name Irwin Corey, I said, I wonder if he's still around. Because if you're not on television, they think you're dead.
Unfortunately.
He never stopped working, and I never stopped working. My last show that I did, that I want to do, was in 89. I was 89. And now I'm doing the documentary, so it's going on until 91. But I wish somebody had captured Irwin Corey on film because he was special.
Well, I do want to let people know that it's strange you mention that, Kay. There was a documentary done on Irwin about 5 years ago, so he would have been in his late 90s, It was called.
I never heard about it.
It was called Irwin and Fran. His wife was still. Irwin was married for 70 years. And his wife was still living at the time. But basically, the documentary, it does focus in on them, but it goes through his comedy career. And Dick Gregory is the narrator because Irwin Corey started Dick Gregory.
Isn't that something?
So if you get a chance, Kay, you'll have to check the Irwin and Fran. It's a great documentary.
I wonder, is it on Netflix, or can you get it on Amazon?
It was on Netflix, and I'm sure you can get it on Amazon.
Good. And it's called Irwin?
Irwin and Fran.
Well, I'm going to do that because I loved him.
Absolutely. And we will miss him a lot. Nobody like Irwin, an original in the comedy world.
That's right.
Kay, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Stay well and come back.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
Come back anytime you like.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Kay Ballard, legendary actress remembering the legendary Irwin Corey. We are going to take a short break and come back with Lorch. That's somebody Kay was just talking about. Right after this short word. Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors. Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. People are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Hey, Scott Spears back with you here, Tuesday, February the 7th, 2017, 1:32 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're remembering the legendary Professor Irwin Corey, who passed away yesterday at the age of 102 years old. Today, we are joined by one of his dear friends to help remember this legend. He is a classic. Many series over the years, always enjoyable. The legendary Larry Storch. Larry, how are you?
Well, I'm in kind of a sad state. As you said, Professor Irwin Corey. Professor Irwin Corey, who talked like that. Professor Irwin was the world's foremost authority, and he passed away. So we have lost one of our great nightclub comics.
Larry, how good was he? When you watched him perform, how good was he?
Oh, he was enough to knock the audience out. I mean, he knew no fear. And I remember he was working at the Copacabana nightclub, and he would change your plate from across the little floor, and he would give your plate of food to a stranger, and he would take their plate of food and give it to you. So Erwin Corey knew no fear, and I loved him very much, and we have lost really a great entertainer.
Larry, I'm looking at a picture of you with Erwin on his 100th birthday. He never lost it, did he? As old as he got, he was still the same Erwin.
Erwin Corey wouldn't change for all the money in the world. Erwin Corey was Erwin Corey, and there was nothing you could do about it. And I remember one time in Chicago, we had both finished our nightclub engagements for the night, and we were driving home in a car, and we wanted to make a turn. Oh, we wanted to go straight ahead. The police officer said, no, you can't. The snow is piled too high. You'll have to take a right-hand turn. And as we drove away, Erwin Corey leaned out the car and told the officer what he could do. And the officer says, hold it. Erwin said to me, step on the gas. Step on the gas, or we'll spend the night in jail. And I had to go step on the gas. So Erwin Corey knew no fear.
No.
And he was a very funny guy, very funny professor, Erwin Corey, as he liked to call himself.
Yes.
That puts a damper on my the next couple of days, for me anyway.
Larry, I want you to hang on the line there. I'm going to play a clip. Erwin was on this show back in 2010. Here's a clip of Erwin Corey on this program, The Legendary Professor. Here he is.
Seriously, here for a second. In 1950, you were Hollywood blacklisted for your support of Cuban children and the American Communist Party. Tell us how that happened.
Oh, well, I was barred from the Communist Party. They said I was an anarchist.
Go ahead. Tell the story. How'd you end up being blacklisted?
Oh, I was blacklisted because I said if Angela Davis was guilty, because the guns used in the shootout in California were registered in her name, I said they should put Nixon in jail, because all the guns that our boys are using in Vietnam are registered in his name.
Mm.
One guy said, do you think Reagan would make a good president? I said, let's face it, we've had many good presidents. I don't think Reagan is going to make any of them.
Professor,
I was on the Dave Letterman show just recently in 1982. I said,
recently.
We got Grenada. Grand Fenwick is next. And Grand Fenwick is that duchy that was in the movie called The Mouse That Roared with Peter Sellers.
Larry, to face the Hollywood blacklist, boy, he had to have guts.
Are you talking to me now?
Yeah. He had to face that Hollywood blacklist. That was gutsy.
What about the blacklist? Was Erwin Corey on it?
Yeah, he absolutely was, and he went right up against it.
Erwin was afraid of nothing. He was fearless, and part of his acting at the Copacabana nightclub was to change your plate of food with a plate of food from a stranger sitting on the other side of the room. Erwin would change your plate of food for his plate of food. So Erwin could start a revolution, really. I loved him.
Yeah, Larry.
I loved Erwin Corey. What time did he pass?
He passed late last night, 102 years old.
102 years old. I'm not surprised. I loved Erwin Corey. Erwin Corey, you did wrong like that. I remember when he told an officer I was driving a car, and Erwin Corey was not permitted. We was not permitted to go straight ahead, and Erwin leaned out the car, and he told the cop what to do, and then he said to me, "Step on the gas, or we're going to spend the night in jail." So, a night with Erwin Corey was was a very dangerous night.
I can, Larry, how are you going to remember him?
Pardon me? Say that again.
How are you going to remember Irwin Corey?
How is I going to what?
Remember him.
Say that again.
How are you going to remember him? How will you remember the professor?
He was fearless. As I said before, he would change your plate of food with a stranger's plate of food in a nightclub. He was fearless, and he was very funny. He was known as Professor Irwin Corey. Professor Irwin Corey, the world's foremost authority.
Larry...
That's what he called himself.
Yes, Larry...
The world's foremost authority.
Larry, you, I thank you so much for joining us. You stay well, and we'll talk soon. Thank you, Larry. Larry Storch, one of the all-time greats. Do you have the feeling of deja vu? And I'll tell you, who would have loved this? Irwin Corey would have loved this. We're going to come back momentarily with Irwin's son, an exclusive interview with his only child, Richard Corey, right after this short but important message. We're coming right back. Don't you dare go anywhere. Everybody's talking about Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio, from legendary comedian Kay Ballard performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the Tomb of King Tut, there's a Chuck full of nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised a wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
Well, what would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake, Scott? Oh, it's naughty. But it certainly fulfills the side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip sessions you've had with friends over the years, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like putting your hands in front of a lovely fire.
Twist
I would do anything you want, Scott. You know I enjoy being on your show. But well, just let me talking and I keep going.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Join me.
And Scott Spears back with you here on this Tuesday, February the 7th, 2017, 1:41, coming up on 1:42 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You are listening to the Irwin Corey, the Professor Irwin Corey Tribute Hour here, the world's foremost authority. Irwin was on this show quite a few times. I believe the last time was right before his 100th birthday. There was nobody like the Professor, and sad to lose him yesterday at the age of 102. We are now very proud to be joined via telephone. We again want to thank Kay Ballard and Larry Storch for joining us to share their memories of the Professor. We're joined by Irwin's son, Richard Corey. But before we get to Richard, let's listen to a little bit of the Professor, nobody like him, on this program from 2010 on the question of why. Professor Irwin Corey.
Get into comedy.
Why did I get into Well, that's a two-part question. First, you ask why. Well, why has been plaguing man since time immemorial. Statesmen, philosophers, educators, teachers, scientists have been wondering what the world is why. And the second question is, what was the second part of the question?
It was comedy, Professor.
Why did I go into comedy?
Yes.
Did I go into comedy? Yes. That's the second part of the question.
No. Why did you go into comedy?
Oh, you asked that question twice.
I did.
Well, it was the easiest way for me. People don't really go into organizations, nor do they go into ideas and philosophy. preconceived.
The prolific Professor Irwin Corey, and he was 95 then. Richard, your dad was something else. Richard, are you there?
True.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I am.
You know, there was, what was it like having Irwin as a father?
Oh, it's like having my mother as my mother.
Uh-oh, I think you have a little bit of the professor in you.
There you go.
What
I
is,
had nothing else to compare it to. It was fine.
It was fine. The professor, 102 years old.
102 and a half.
102 and a half. I know the professor came on, I think the last time we got to speak with him was right before he turned 100. How were the last couple years for the professor?
Okay. Just like the first 103. No, he was aiming for October of this year because that would be the 100th anniversary of the October Revolution. So he was 3 years old when that happened.
Was this, when somebody goes at 102 and a half, is it shocking?
Oh, yes. I mean, I really wanted to have something prepared to say on this occasion, but it came out so fast.
Had the professor been ill?
Yes, for about 85 years.
85 years?
Yes.
So it was one of those...
It wasn't a physical illness.
Well, one of those slow progressive illnesses.
Right.
Yeah. What was he like at home? Was he funny at home?
Absolutely not.
Not at all, huh?
No. And no, it was most fun. I forget the words. Is what he loved to do the most was to get the newspaper and look at the obituary section.
Is that right?
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
So I told him that I was going to make a new paper for him, especially called the New York Obituary. And there would be a column, a daily column in it called the Prebituary, where we write about people we wish were dead.
You know, I have been hearing from so many people, comedians seem to live a long time. Bob Hope, George Burns, the Professor 102. Do you think comedy adds to the longevity of your life?
Not as much as it adds to the misery.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You know, comedians come from very depressing, miserable circumstances. They don't come from happy childhoods. They come from stress and unhappiness. My father was from a very unhappy situation, and what he did was he wanted to make his fellow people as happy as they could. Like Stephen Colbert mentioned the same thing, that his father and his brother died in a plane crash when he was like 11 years old. And ever since that moment, he tried to make his mother laugh. So that's where laughter and comedy comes from, to counteract sadness.
You know, there's a great documentary, Irwin and Fran. People should see this documentary. It's tremendous. I had a chance to watch it. And it's about your mother and father who were married for over 70 years. And
that's true.
And what was that marriage like?
Oh, she was absolutely wonderful. And he just was devastated when she died.
Well, there's a very poignant moment in that documentary. The documentary is about Irwin and Fran, and then there's a postscript. Fran passed away, and it shows Irwin reciting this poem. How were the last few years after your mother passed away for him?
Sad. It was sad. He missed her very much.
Your father continued to work on stage, I think, until he was almost 100. What kept him going?
Fear.
Fear?
That's a line from Mel Brooks' 2000-Year-Old Man. He this fear transported you. Yes, you'd see an animal would growl, you'd go 2 miles in a minute, but fear would be the main propulsion. And that's in all walks of life. Fear is a motivating force.
You know, a few years ago...
That's why politicians use it, because they know it's successful.
What was he fearful of?
Well, he was terribly afraid of not getting laughs. He woke up one day, and he told me he had a terrible dream that he was in the play, and he forgot the words. He forgot what scene he was in. He forgot what play it was. And I said, well, look at the bright side. He says, what's the bright side? I said, you had a job.
I do. Richard, hang with us here on the line. I want to play another clip of that interview with the professor back from 2010. Here we go. The Professor Irwin Corey on this program. Take it away. Oh, wait a second here. Want to make sure we get the right clip.
One place where a lot of people remember you, you ran for president in 1960.
No, it was 1959.
Excuse me.
I was running on the Playboy ticket.
You Hefner's Playboy ticket. How did that come about and what happened?
And I got something like 4,000 votes in Chicago.
Why do you think?
I lost the election by 120,000 votes. What?
Why do you think you got so many votes in Chicago, and why do you think, why did
what
you run?
What happened is there were not that many people that were reading the Playboy magazine.
Were you serious?
No, it was just a joke.
Okay. Now, you've been married 70 years. How do you keep that going?
I don't know. I'm on my 97th year now.
How do you stay going and stay bright and keep the brain moving? What's your secret to a long life?
Well, my motto is you can get more with a kind word and a gun than with just a kind word. That was in 5 movies already, and I never got credit for it.
He was really one of a kind. At 97 there, still coming up with those funny lines. Richard, was he that way up until the end?
Yes. He had to.
He lived to make people laugh.
Absolutely. We found out recently his name, Irwin, comes from an Anglification of Yitzhak. And I was speaking to Lubavitcher, and he said, do you realize that the word Yitzhak, which was his Hebrew name, means laughter? I said, really? That's so fitting. And he didn't know, I didn't know, but we found out that is true. Yitzhak means laughter, and it is very fitting.
You know, Irwin was a very politically active guy. He backed candidates. He was involved in causes. He went viral a few years ago when people found out he was getting money to send to Cuba. What did he think of this last presidential election?
Oh, my God. He was devastated. He thought that first that would do something to prevent him from being inaugurated. But to his depression and chagrin and despair, it didn't happen that way. But I told him, I said, listen, Trump running for president is really a win-win situation. If he loses, he destroys the Republican Party. If he wins, he destroys the United States of America.
Because
he seems to be on his way to accomplishing that.
Richard, what was Irwin's last day like yesterday? How did he, 102 years, what was the last day like?
He ate what he wanted, and he was happy that he could be with his family and at home, and he was feeling contented.
Did he know the end was coming?
Actually, I'm getting a call from some of his friends now. Annie Ross is calling. I got to take the call.
I
appreciate being on the show and sharing whatever I could.
Thank you, Richard.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. The legendary Irwin Corey's son, Richard Corey. It's really a tremendous... He was so good. I want to go back and play one more clip from that interview. The interview, 97, so that would have been 5 years ago. So 2012, this must have been. Irwin Corey on this program back in 2012 on how he would like to be remembered. And I think here we go.
Do you still want to work?
I'm almost 97 years old. And I have a little difficulty in hearing. The government gave me some hearing aids that don't understand English.
Boy, that's a quandary to be stuck in.
What?
Do you still want to work, Professor?
I am.
And you're still? Do you love it?
Yeah.
As much as you ever did.
Oh, why do I love working? Listen, the reason that people work is to keep them from being bored. That's all it's there for. Work and unemployment. The elephants don't work. And they have no economic system. And they seem to survive.
Professor, what's the epitaph going to read 100 years from now?
Well, I don't know if people remember me from 100 years from now. Some of them don't even remember me now.
Oh, well, I think they will. But what would you like it to read?
Well... I'm telling you, language is an amazing phenomenon. I'll tell you something. God supposedly changed the language of the people of the Tower of Babel. There was no language at that time. Adam and Eve spoke in Gagahugu, Megahamadanisanibamako. And freely translated, that went Bahagahaga Maganduru Hushin.
The Professor Irwin Corey on this program back in 2012, it must have been. Professor Irwin Corey passed away last night at the age of 102 and a half, and apparently had a great last day. We want to thank Kay Ballard, legendary actress and co-star of the Professor Irwin Corey's, for coming on this program and remembering him. And we certainly also would like to thank Larry Storch, who came on, remembered his friend, the Professor Irwin Corey, and also gave us a good laugh. And, of course, Richard Corey, the only child, only son of the Professor Irwin Corey. We do have about 4 minutes left in the program, maybe 3.5. If you have a memory of the Professor Irwin Corey, give me a call. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a ring, and we will get you up on the air. Is there anybody out there in the listening audience who remembers the legendary Professor Irwin Corey, who passed away yesterday at the age of 102 years old? He was an He used to come on the show, and you never knew what you were going to get, because he came on and did those bits. Kind of like his son. His son, you know, I've never really had a long conversation with his son until today, but he was doing those same old bits, the Professor Irwin Corey bits, where you really can never get a straight answer. And that's what made him funny. That's what made him so talented, so funny, so brilliant, and so interesting for so many years. And you know, I think Irwin might be somehow watching over this program, because for Larry Storch to come on this program and repeat the same story 3 times in the course of 10 minutes about Irwin Corey, nothing would have made Irwin Corey laugh louder or delighted him more than that moment having happened. He was an original and did Broadway in so many things. And 102, I mean, goodness gracious, what a great life. And there are some archives of him on the internet. If you want to check out Irwin in his prime, just go to YouTube and type in Professor Irwin Corey, and you can see him on the Smothers Brothers, and you can see him on the Jackie Gleason Show, and I believe he did do some Tonight Show spots, and really used to make Steve Allen laugh on the old Tonight Show. He used to be on the
the Steve Allen Show, and I think he was even on the Westinghouse version of the Steve Allen Show, but boy, he was brilliant on all those shows. And when you called Irwin, he just answered up the phone and he was always ready to go. But very political. Off the air, Irwin did not talk comedy, really. Irwin wanted to talk about politics. Irwin wanted to talk about who was running for president, what was going on in the United States, where we were headed. And I often wondered in the last year what Irwin Corey, who got to see the presidential election between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, thought of what was going on, because it was a doozy. And Irwin had no filter whatsoever. Whatever Irwin Corey thought is what you heard. And maybe that's the side of comedy that kept him so unique and so brilliant for more than a century. The world's foremost authority, the Professor Irwin Corey, a many-time guest on this program, passed away yesterday at the age of 102 years old. We will miss him. But for this day, we're saying, we'll miss you, Professor. But I'm Scott Spears, heading for the dugout. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio.